Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Janicene was gay!
I know.
No, she should have been gay.
She should have been gay. Or at least bi.
Something. Which she probably discovered her path later on.
She was like, oh yeah, I'm pan.
Yeah. Okay. yeah, I definitely think that's what her future held. Kevin G was only for high school.
Kevin G came out as non-binary later. And...
Shut the fuck up.
No, that's all man, baby.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin G.
Oh, man. What a dream.
What up, cabronas?
What's poppin', chingona?
Oh, my God. You guys have been together too long.
Mm-hmm. It's been a solid 24 hours.
You're already the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
We're slowly morphing into the same person. We're already wearing the same shoes.
You're already Stop! You're in the Siamese slides. Twin Shout out phase.
Oh my God. That's it. He's connected at my shoulder currently.
Literally. Siamese twins right now. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys don't recognize our voices, I think it's pretty obvious. I'm here with Eva from De Colores Radio. And I'm here with Favi from Latinos Who Lunch.
Hello, hello, hello.
What did you say like that?
I was trying to be Bubble X.
This show has been, or this episode has been like a long time coming. We've been waiting to have our very own fat representation episode.
Woo! Fat people unite.
Fat people.
AKA a ripoff from the Latinos Who Lunch episode about... What is it called? Cheesy Gordita Crunch?
The episode is called Gordita Supreme. And then
I always get it wrong.
My friends and I who did it were so into it that after Babelito left, we're like, oh, good. The skinny guy's gone. Let's really talk shit. And we did a part two. Yeah.
Yes. I love those two episodes. Like, that was my representation. I was like, I feel so seen.
Yeah.
All this shit was like exactly what I'd been through.
We just vented. We just basically were venting about fat people shit.
Right.
And that's like so unheard of still.
Yeah.
Yeah. People like don't want you to complain about it. They want you to feel bad about it and keep it to yourself.
Even
and shit.
Like in the like plus size fashion fat world, I'm like, y'all aren't going to talk about chafing and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's your pants didn't rip at your thighs. Like, I don't know. Like even in the like fat body positive world, it's still like they're not talking about the real shit to me.
That is so funny. I just, right before coming to Dallas,
what?
I ripped another pair of pants.
Me
and
too,
I was Googling.
Actually.
I was like, I literally have, you know, I wear the same fucking clothes every day. Mm-hmm. So I have five pairs of jeans where the thighs are ripped.
Yes.
And I'm like, I need to fix these. Like,
you
I can patch
though.
Them.
Like, you can barely do it though, because I've tried to patch before. So what I ended up doing is turning them all into like booty shorts.
Oh, maybe that's what I
because
should do.
They don't, like, when you repatch it, it's still gonna, like, if the seams are not the same.
Well, I watched a few YouTube videos, and I'm fairly confident
okay,
that if I get my zigzag stitch right...
You better come through, zigzag!
I can do it. I'm gonna try. And then you send me your pants, and I got you.
Okay, well,
I think there's, like, a company where you can send in your pants, and they'll do it for you. Like, your ripped thigh stuff pants.
Yeah, it's called my grandma's house. Shout out to Abuelita Chabela.
Love you, Chabela.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. Like literally, I have no more jeans left. I only have black jeans now.
Yeah.
I've just been wearing stretchy pants lately. Fuck it. These hoes won't rip that easy.
You know, I was very anti sweatpant because I'm like, if I wear sweatpants, that's it. That means I've given up on life.
And there's like fancier, like these aren't sweatpants. They're like fancier pants, but they're like.
No, I'm not calling you out. I'm just.
Okay. I was like, bitch, add me. I'm right here.
At Eva.
I just wore sweatpants on a plane the other day because I'm like, this flight is like 10 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wear sweatpants. I don't give a fuck. And it changed my life.
But that's so real also because you're getting into like how fat people are stereotyped. And like, if we even like look a certain kind of slob, it's like you're automatically like. You don't intake vegetables. You're just a disgusting fat slob.
Yeah.
So I feel that. Like, you have to be dressed to the nines or at least wearing pants and, like, trying to look decent. If not, they think you're disgusting automatically.
True.
It's like super annoying because I like wearing like sometimes baggy shirts or like mm-hmm. big shirts, but I look fucking I think I look horrible in it. But fucking Ariana Grande only wears like a single shirt out everywhere and some fashion big ass boots. Yeah, and everybody's like, "Wow, like this looks great."
Give me some knee high boots, girl. Right, we're good.
like skinny people get away with everything. Fucking fashion choice that they could possibly make,
and they make bad ones all the time. I'm right. like, girl, you have all the sizes. I would kill for that. Mm-hmm. I would kill for that. Or I tell my friends like. They're like, oh, I went thrifting. I'm like, the plus size section in a thrift store is horrible. Like, mm-hmm. I can't find shit. At least not in where I am, Dallas, Texas. Like, it's not happening. I have to go to the man's t-shirt and, like, maybe find a couple things. But, like, no, I want to make, like, fashionable, like, what is it where people are trying to, like, decrease their eco...
Carbon footprint?
Yes, basically. Oh, and, like, okay. Sustainable clothing, I think is what it's called. And I'm like... They don't even make fat people clothes back in the day. So, like, I don't have many options to even do that.
Yeah, girl. I mean, vintage shop, I'm like, great. I'm just, this is like a museum to me. Nothing is going to fucking fit except unless it's a sock.
Speaking of, like, I think I have taken for granted a lot of the clothing struggles just in the past few years because I'm gay as shit and I wear, like, a lot of boyish stuff. Mm-hmm. So I shop, like, when it comes to shirts, like, I exclusively shop pretty much in the men's section.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Same. And that's where I can find out. And that's where I can find a lot, you know? I mean, like, so I've had that privilege of being able to, like, not worry so much about my tops. But, you know. I can't say anything around you guys.
You definitely set that up, so.
That was on me. That was on me. But yeah, I mean, it's a struggle.
Yeah, there's so many different separate parts of struggling as a fat person, whether it's like airplane flights, shopping, like what category do you want to hit? Family, trauma, like all the topics intertwine with fatness.
Right.
Or your experience in fatness.
Yeah, and then like, especially with us three, we kind of add layers onto that shit, like being Latino, being gay, being all this other shit. And it's just, like, adds to the fucking struggle. The other day, I was talking to my white coworkers because I like to remind them that they're privileged. And I was like, you know, I've struggled for being, like, a lot of the things that I am, a woman. Not so much La Latina, really, because I'm fucking light-skinned as shit. And a lot for being queer. But the thing that I've struggled the most with, like, in my life, the worst thing has been being fat. Like, and he was super shook. I was like, yeah, that overcomes all the three of them combined.
But why don't you just lose weight?
Oh my god.
I mean, it's easy. Just don't eat.
Straight up,
exercise.
I think like the other
white. That'll do it.
My other white coworker was like, "Oh, this is what I do. I just don't eat." I'm like, "Oh, wow. Thank you so much for telling me that. I would have never thought of that. You're so smart, white boy."
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, that's why they get paid more than you.
Yikes. Okay.
They're just smarter.
Straight Jesus. Up.
No, we talked a little bit about some stuff the other day, but the sad part is within all those like identities you just described, like everybody, none of those people want to be fat.
Right.
So that's the reality of like fatness is that like, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. There are some places I've heard where like fat bodies are more appreciated or accepted or celebrated, but it's like, that's so rare that within all those identities we've struggled with or whatever, the fat one is the one that like everybody will still shame you for. It doesn't matter what community you're in, or they won't talk about it, or they'll just release their own fat phobia, or they'll be like, I'm bloated, ew. And I'm like, bitches, you're fucking skinny, shut up, like you're fine. But like thin people hate that. And so it's funny because the other day my best friend was like, how do you feel about these things? Like, I never really thought of that. And I was like, that's, yeah, it bothers me. What the fuck? Yeah. And it was so, I was shook because she actually cared to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't think about it. And recently I read Roxane Gay's book, Hunger. And she put so many things into words that I had never been able to express. And then also validated a lot of my feelings. And it's just like in the little things that we have to go through day to day. And I'm not equating this at all to like, I am equating it, but I know it doesn't equal at all. Like what people go through when they deal with race, like as like microaggressions and like how as a person of color, you walk into a room and you really have to like assess the situation and then like just ignore all these microaggressions that as a fat person, you kind of have to do the same thing. So, like, it's things that thin people don't think about or regular-sized people don't think about. I shouldn't say regular. Non-fat.
That's telling of our right. language and acceptance.
Right,
of it, though.
Right. But it's like, okay, I'm going to the doctor's office. I hope the chairs in the doctor's office don't have, you know, like, arms on them. Because what if I don't fit? Mm-hmm. Or, like, you go to a family party. I'm like, oh, I can't sit down. There's plastic chairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I break it.
And then people are like, oh, my God, sit down. Are you kidding me? And sometimes I'm honest. I'm like, I can't sit down. I'm going to break that chair.
Yes. I literally said that last week.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, my God. Yeah, right. I'm like, it's literally happened to me several times. And I'm not about to make that happen again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or, like, when we're interviewing for our podcast, like, I'm actually aware of the person's size. So I'm like, okay, this person needs to sit in this chair. Or, like, things need to be ready. We need to sit at a table, not at a booth. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's just shit that we're constantly thinking about, you know? And it's...
But that's also if you're mindful and considerate of it. And then, like, also don't fully hate yourself for it, right? Because if you fully hate yourself for it, it's when... Like, I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe that's just a personal thing. But, like, you don't even recognize how much you hate yourself for it that you're, like... I don't know. Not making it harder for yourself. I don't know how to describe what I'm trying to say, maybe. But, like,
yeah,
we're being considerate because we've accepted our own and are thinking of others, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Yeah, but anyway, Roxane Gay's book, it talks all about that. If you haven't read it and you're a fat person, I really urge you to. They're, like, short essays. It's a whole book of short essays, basically. Of her dealing with an eating disorder and just, like, just her navigating through the world as a fat person. But what I really got about it was, like, her accepting her body. And this is something that I realized maybe, like, 2 years ago, is, like, our whole lives as fat people, we've subconsciously and straightforward, like, told, like, this is not your body. Oh, your body God, is your body. You're going to change. You're going to grow into your body. You're going to lose the baby fat. And someday you will have your body. And I never realized that I've been walking around my whole life with a body that I didn't claim as my own or thought of as my own. Like, I'm in a vessel that doesn't belong to me. And maybe, like, 2 years ago when I consciously was like looking in the mirror and be like, okay, this is it. This is what I have. This is my body. I should love myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still don't. It's like a struggle, you know, but it's like something that I'm aware now of.
Right.
Like, oh, I got to live in the moment, like, right now. Because as fat people, I feel like we're always thinking about what our bodies could be and not what our bodies actually are.
Which I think is where, like, I feel that, right? Like, that you choose to love your body, right? Because it's easy to say, this roller got a lot bigger than I remember it being. Or, like, when the fuck did this extra back fat come in? Or, like, whatever else. It's so easy. Like, sometimes I look at it, I'm like, oh, bitch, okay. All right, we have that there now. Cool. And it's like, you can like... Like, you literally have to look at it daily and say, like, this is mine, so I love it. And it is so hard to do that.
Yeah.
Even as confident as you can come off, you can easily be, like, myself included. Because people are like, oh, how did you post that picture? Girl, it was hard. But you know what? I decided that, like, I have to accept and love this. And it's such a struggle every day.
I'm obsessed with Nicole Byer, the comedian. She's the one that hosts Nailed It, you know?
Nailed It.
I nailed it! And she, every time she posts photos of herself, she's really big. And she, like, always hashtags, like, so fat, so brave. Like, just like as a... just ironically. Yeah. And she, like, does it in all the different combinations. Like, hashtag so fat. Hashtag so brave. Hashtag I love my body. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. But just, like, how people think we're brave for just being us. And just existing as a person that's not fat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow. And it shouldn't be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was that. I know we'll probably talk about her later, but Jessica Salgado said something like that. And I made that the quote on the picture I posted, which was a picture. When I saw that picture of myself, I said, oh my God, Pat, you didn't tell me my stomach looked that big. I literally said that. And then, like, a few weeks later, I was like, I look cute as fuck, though. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I decided to post it. Like, and so it was uncomfortable for me, but it was like, no, it is that thing of, like, that doesn't make me brave. That's, like, me choosing to accept it, right? And, like, so her quote, I we can find it later, where Jessica basically said, like, why is it brave if fat women post pictures of themselves?
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow. Like, that same day, I was like, cool, I needed this. Thanks.
And also all these fucking men out there that are like, I love my curvy wife. Like, You want a fucking cookie, bitch? Like, you have a beautiful wife.
Okay? You're a lucky fucker. And like,
you're lucky. What? Like, look at me. I love fat women. Aren't I progressive? Like, what?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
It's an interesting world.
I know.
It's pretty annoying, especially when people are, because most of the time, like, sometimes they're like that, but most of the time it's guys being like, oh, I love thick girls, but they literally just mean only their ass.
Right, and that, like, word is so funny, because I get that, obviously, on the dating apps and things. Ugh, I love thick, and I'm like, what does that mean? Or my favorite is, like, when I'm claiming fat, right? I'm like, oh, I'm a fat girl. Like, I know I'm a bad bitch, but I'm also fat. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're not fat, girl.
You're not fat, you're beautiful, like, and bitch. I'm like,
okay, fat doesn't mean bad. You see how you equated fat to making it bad, because that's how we see it. But it doesn't have to be bad, because I'm just owning what I am.
Right, it's just an attribute. I think we should talk about, go ahead and like jump into Jessica Salgado, because on the theme of representation, I mean, we're talking about books too, and writing too. She's like a very, like, you guys are gonna have to tell me more about this, because I don't know a whole lot about her, but she came to be very, very popular amongst like Latinos recently.
Oh, absolutely. So I mean, I saw her from her Instagram account originally, but I know she like started by like catfishing someone, which I think is really fascinating, because she's really like claimed that and like owned it, because that's what she did.
That's interesting.
And then within the last few years, she really, like, I think she used to work at Walgreens, and then she started getting more into her writing and quit her job and really started pursuing her poetry, which I think, again, that has been fat representation for me. I read Bad Feminist a few years ago, and that's Roxane Gay that he mentioned just a bit ago. And that blew me away, because she was also a child of immigrants and she was a woman of color. And so it was just like, cool, like, fat brown woman, relate.
Yes.
And so it was really nice to get into her. And then with Jessica has this really beautiful, soft, very loving side to her. And so whenever I read like Corazon, I was like, dope. Because it's that always that constant question, like, especially in dating, of like, would they have loved me if I wasn't fat? Or did they love me differently because I was fat? Or did they secretly hate me because I was fat? Because I've sent you messages where, like, I'll reject a guy and the first thing they do is, like, fucking fat ass. And I'm like, bruh, I thought we got across that. Like, that doesn't offend me. I'm aware of that. But the fact that, like, you think that hurts me.
You think that it's an offense. You think that it's like this negative thing, and that, and then they also use it as like a weapon. It's like in a certain way where it's like, dude, like, I should have been able to get this easily because you're less than.
Right, exactly. Like,
what the fuck is wrong
with
you?
And so she's done something really beautiful in that she's constantly exposing them.
Yes.
And so that's what's so fun, and that's what's really made people relate to her, and then made her just like this perfect, like, internet icon, I guess, for the Latinx community. So, yeah, she's a great Salvadorian fat representation.
Yes, queen. I love her. She's amazing. I love watching her live videos on Instagram. And I mean, it's true what you were saying about, like, on the flip side of what you were saying, it's like when somebody hits on me, like when a guy hits on me and like gets close and stuff, I'm always like, are they trying to steal my wallet? Like, I don't trust it, you know what I mean? Because we have been conditioned to be like, oh yeah, like,
what's the ulterior motive?
Yeah. What's your, yeah, like, people don't like fat people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That I'm it's still very confusing. Learning that. I'm still learning.
Shout
that.
Out to Dallas and the boys out here. Last night
for
was
for you, baby, for you, litty. Not for me.
Because I guess lit. Somebody schooled me last night, and they're like, "We don't say lit anymore.
We say litty.
We say litty because white people ruined lit." And I'm like,
"Who
oh,
said that? I didn't know that."
My friend Pam. Shout out to you, Pam.
Hi, Pam. I still say lit though.
Yeah, don't do it.
I usually just, I hated the word from the beginning, so I just like, Liddy, like, to make fun of it.
My niece and nephew say Liddy, so I feel like that's for the kids.
That's where we're at in life right now.
Y'all are like 20 years old. Get out of here.
Oh, but like, speaking of this, like, very, like, very, like, the niche experience, perhaps, like, do you guys worry, especially, like, we're at different levels, our podcasts are at different levels of whatever, like, listenership and stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Clotas and Cabrones y Chingas a little bit closer, but do you guys worry, like, me and Eva barely touched on this, but do you guys worry that people will, like, just talk to you and just look at you as, like, oh, like, they're this person who's, like, a media personality now or whatever the fuck? Like, do you worry that people just talk to you for that reason?
Thankfully, because it's a podcast, people don't realize who I am until I start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had that situation happen a couple times where people are just like, they want to talk to Favi Fa from the podcast and I actually talk to the person that's in front of them. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen that often. And I think it's because Babelito and I are like so vulnerable on the show and like kind of, and real. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it is kind of, we do get into like our podcast characters, but it is honestly like a true version of us.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know? Like a dating way. Like,
oh, in a dating way? Yeah. Like, oh,
Do you feel weird about like people like hitting, like you think that if it was just you and you never had this podcast, this person wouldn't date you? You know what I mean?
But oh, like, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
extra attention. For
yeah.
You.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
where they're like, oh, I'm so impressed by you. And I'm like, dude, I don't do anything. Like, it's just a podcast.
In a dating way, for me, no. Like, I've been hit on once.
Oh, I think that's, like, the only way I get dates now is, like, people recognize me from Latinos for Lunch. That's and funny. I'm like, yeah, I'm trash. Let's go out.
Buy me something. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, basically how I get friends now, too. It's just, like, through the podcast
yeah.
these days. But, like, as far as dating, like, I'm just kind of like, oh, God, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely. I thought I would. I thought I would have way more play, but like, I really have. I told you when like somebody hit me up the other day, I was like, my first one. Like, I was like so excited because I never have gotten hit on from it. People definitely like look at me as greater than because of the show. And so then in turn, they like, I guess, respect me more, which I think is kind of pathetic because I'm like, I'm pretty cool even if I didn't have a podcast. But like, as far as like dating, no, absolutely not. Okay.
I was just wondering if that had affected your lives at all.
Sometimes on the apps, people will say like, oh, are you from Latinos for Lunch?
I would have to leave the building.
And then I just delete it. Yeah. that's a lie. It just depends on.
Yeah, you're like, yes, daddy, what?
God.
Yes, let's go to Chipotle, girl.
Olive Garden.
Olive Express. Garden. Whatever you want. I treat you right.
Stop. Let's get into TV and film representation now for fat people. What's the first time that you guys saw yourself on TV or film without it being negative? Let me put that, slap that label on there without it being a negative thing.
The first fat representation.
I can't think of one thing specifically, but I was reflecting on this recently, and maybe Nicole Byers helped a little bit with that as well for me to reflect on it. But, like, I say this all the time, that black culture was a huge influence on me growing up, period. But for fat women in general that were confident and loved themselves and owned who they were, I would have to say your Moniques, your, because I like the Parkers growing up, and these bigger fat women that usually were black women were always so inspiring to me because they just loved themselves. They literally were like, fuck it, this is who I am. And they were hilarious and they were great. And so I think that's the first thing I can think of right off the bat, because also when you're fat, like growing up fat, like you kind of are like getting chubbier and chubbier and you're just like not really sure if it's gonna stop. But I would have to say like all those like fat black queens that were just hilarious and great were the first time that I like saw that and didn't want to hate myself for it. Maybe mm-hmm. Maybe if we talk a little more I can get into more specifics, but that's the first thing that comes into mind to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the representation that I first encountered was all negative. Like, the always the fat person is that's the butt of the joke, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. Like, Ñoño from what is it called? El Chavo del Ocho. Mm-hmm. Like, the fat guy on there.
Oh, my God.
The little fat girl that was in Carrusel de Niños.
Or
Carrusel de las Americas. That one too. And then I'm just trying to think of all the fat people.
I remember this episode of Arthur where he got husky and he was so sad.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he like couldn't fit into his pants. I don't know why that's what I thought of, but I watched a lot of Arthur growing up.
I did too.
So when he got husky, it was like a big deal.
Did you know that Arthur is black?
That's a theory I've heard, yes.
Yes. Okay, I just thought you'd like to know. DW is definitely black. She is funny. Oh, she's too funny.
Oh my God.
To be a white girl.
That's true. What? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
What about yours? I want to know yours.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't thought about the first non-negative one, but like one thing that is just keeps popping into my mind because like for me, there was a lot of confidence there. I know now that there wasn't real confidence. But like seeing Christine Sedelko blow up was really interesting for me.
That's the one from Vine.
She's the Vine star that went into YouTube.
Don't mess with Texas.
Don't mess with Texas, girl. Yes. Yeah, it was just like everybody loved her, and like she, I don't know, she still does. I think she's kind of like been talking about this lately on her podcast, but she would identify as asexual, so she didn't give a fuck what people thought about her. Like, it's interesting how that intersects, you know what I mean? Like, what, like how people look at you sexually or whatever. And since she identified as asexual, she had a different kind of confidence that I hadn't seen before, where she didn't care if guys or women or anyone thought she was attractive. Right. And I was just like, oh, this is fucking great. But she still even has definitely gone through like weight issues. Like,
does she talk about it?
Yeah. Okay. Very,
I really don't know much about
it. Is she still identify as asexual?
I think she does currently, but the last podcast that I heard of her, she said that she knew she had a friend who was like overweight like her, who also identified as asexual, but like she lost weight and like grew in confidence and then realized she was a lesbian.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's something interesting there where it's like me and one of my friends, Cordarian, and a couple of the people have talked about how like the bigger we get and the less confident that we get, like I think it's more of a correlation with like your confidence than it is you being fat, but those link a lot. Right, so like
thinking you don't deserve love or thinking you don't deserve affection, that's so true. And
so
like,
the bigger that I am, like the less I want to be in a relationship,
because you're like hurting yourself in that way.
I'm like, I don't want people to, I don't want to be close to somebody if I look like this. Right. Like it was this
don't
whereas
touch,
like but, me like, and I've gotten bigger throughout the years, but it's like I finally like I've started to own my sexuality and own my fatness a little more. Which was a process, again, like I said, happens every day.
It's work.
Yeah, but it's like I finally, even like when I show my tits a little yesterday, I was like, oh my God.
Oof, the titties were out.
Oh my God. And I keep like feeling like I'm showing too much, right? Because it's either like I'm asexual as a fat person or I'm overly sexualized and that's all men want me for, which is kind of where it's been for the last year. So it's really interesting you say that, because it is a totally that weird relationship that like we're not even processing, but like we're kind of digging into ourselves.
Right. And like I understand completely, by the way, I just want to mention this, like asexuals like are totally valid at whatever size.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's just that some bigger people have experienced this weird change where like they start to feel asexual. You know what I mean? Like they lose that spirit, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I can totally relate to that, because when I was growing up, I was like raised super religious or whatever, and
same.
I was like, I'm never going to be able to come out, so I think I'm just going to just really never be with anybody, and that's going to be fine, because I don't also want to like live a lie with a woman, you know? Like I thought that would be really fucked up for me to do, because I heard a lot of, not a lot, but a couple of girls' feelings, because, you know, like, we wouldn't go any further, or, like, I wouldn't commit to being in a relationship because I felt really bad about that. And so I think I, like, program myself to, like, be, like, I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life. And so now, recently, it's been, like, that was, like, 20-something years of me programming that into my head, you know? So now it's going to take a long time for me to get over that, you know? Because like, oh, now I'm ready to be
I'm
with
somebody.
I'm
doing all what
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I'm ready to be with somebody now, but it's just like,
am I?
It's a lot. It's a lot to like, oh, like every little thing is going against what like I've been programmed to do, you know? Or have, you know what I mean?
No, that's, absolutely.
It's really tragic, but I can totally relate to that aspect. And there's some people that have thought that I was asexual, and that was like my personality, because I didn't want anybody to get close to me, you know? Yeah.
That's like one of the toughest parts. And I
but
think
I'm
that's
not, so call me. Slide in my DMs.
Slide in the DMs. They're open.
That's why I think it's like so important to have positive representation and not just, you know, fat people trying to lose weight on screen, because like, had I not started seeing that and like have had like, if younger people who are fat don't see that, then they're gonna do the exact same thing. You know what I mean? If they don't see like,
and it's so easy. I think we discussed it the other day, Favi, and I feel like you and I have discussed it as well, Maite, where it was like fat phobia is like part of the Latinx culture, period. Like, we don't know a Latina woman over 40 in our life that's not obsessed with their size or like being thin, or like chasing this thing as though that's perfection and gonna make you happy. And like that toxic mindset is so ingrained and who we are, that like half of our like struggle with fatness is just was literally given to us, right? Like handed to us from our mothers directly, likely. And like, or they're struggling with it, or like my mom's been trying to lose 10 pounds for literally 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this to put her business out there, but I'm like, you're so small. You're so small. And so like, it took time to where I had to say, Mom, can you just stop? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not helping me. You telling me to eat this instead of that is not going to make me thin.
Yeah.
And so it just, I guess it's heartbreaking in a way that that's like where it's rooted from a lot of times for us. And like, it is a battle to choose to love yourself, to choose to even like, I started following a lot of more fat people on social media because it allowed me to think they're beautiful. I'm beautiful. We're allowed to be this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of times our mothers and sometimes even fathers,
everybody,
they see us as an extension of themselves and basically yeah. like an extension of their fat problems and literally their fat. So it's like my mom has a lot of issues with her weight, and that's all she can talk about is her mm-hmm. weight and like what she's eating and her diet and going to the gym. And like, now it's gotta be like 4 or 5 years ago. I literally had to like, it was weird. It was like, I was training my mom like an animal almost like. In the nicest way, like Caesar.
Yeah, that sounds harsh, but
Caesar, like the dog whisperer. Okay, like I told her, I'm like, if you talk about my weight, I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving your house, or I'm hanging up the phone. Mm-hmm. And so for like a year, I talked to my mom maybe like 1 or 2 minutes. I would go to her house for like 2 minutes,
God.
And she would bring up my weight, and I would leave.
Wow.
And then she would call me all hysterical, and I'd be like, I wasn't joking. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to talk to me about something else. Maybe start by saying, like, how was your day? You know, mm-hmm. instead of being like, oh, those pants look a little tight on you. You know what Jeez. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's like how our moms talk to us.
No, absolutely. And we have to accept it as norm.
Yeah. And
until we decide to walk out.
Until we decide to walk out. And now I can hang out with my mom for like 30 minutes and she doesn't bring it up. So it's like, that's progress.
Yeah. Right.
You know? But I used to get so enraged, and now that I think that I'm more comfortable with myself, when my mom does bring that shit up, now I can hang out with her longer, and I just feel bad for her. I feel sad for her because I see what she doesn't see. Like, I see that she's not accepting of her body, and then she's lived over 50 years now in a body that she hates, mm-hmm. and that's just so tragic to me. And if I try to talk to my mom like we're talking right now and being like, yo, we need to love ourselves. Like, she just gets so angry. And she's like, it's not about that. It's about our health and this and that and that. And I'm like,
I love the health card.
I'm so sorry, but I'm not drinking one of your licuados. I'm not taking this random pills that you're taking. I'm not doing a whatever fucking fast your cabbage, Herbalife cookies diet, whatever the fuck you're doing. I don't understand.
La dieta.
Yeah. So,
dude, shakes fucking traumatized me. Like,
oh my God.
My mom would put me on diets when I was like really young, like straight up like maybe like 9, 10.
Same.
And I'd be drinking fucking shakes for dinner and they were disgusting.
We got a Bally's membership when God. I was like 9. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable in the gym. It was a bunch of like old creepy meatheads.
I think my mom got me a gym membership when I was 12.
I think I was like 10.
For my 15th birthday, my mom and my dad got together and bought me an exercise machine.
Wow.
Like, I didn't fucking ask for that. I was 15. Mm. Like, what the fuck?
That is so rude.
That's it was so fucking evil. I was like, what? And I didn't even, at the time, I was like, oh, this is like, I wasn't even mad about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I should lose weight.
Yeah, you know, because what I mean? You were only taught to shame and hate yourself. And so, like, the alternative of this would be, like, what if we, like, taught kids to just love themselves, like, early on and accept themselves, whoever they were? Like, what would our life be without all that?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you can't even imagine it because it's either embedded, whether fatness or this or that, or you're too dark, or you're too this, or you're too flamboyant. You know, like, damn. Like, what if parents really just allowed their kid to be, and that's healthy to me, like accepting and loving yourself? Like, I can't even imagine.
You know what's funny that you mentioned that makes me think of another YouTuber. See, YouTube is like doing things for me.
Yeah, it is. That is.
But there's this YouTuber, Elle Mills. Uh-huh. She wasn't even like really fat. She was just like bigger, and she was like probably the, she looked super confident and she was super creative and she blew up overnight and she was just amazing. And I remember thinking to myself, like, maybe that's what I could have been if I hadn't been worrying about my weight my whole life. If I hadn't been worrying about whatever, like, I could have been this creative person who, like, gets to just do what she wants to do. But then even Elle Mills, after a while, like, being in the public eye, like, that really got to her. Mm-hmm. And she started losing weight too. And it was just, it's just, there's a lot of people, like, in the media that once they blow up, they start losing weight. And it's right. just because there's such a pressure, like.
Well, and I think part of it's the pressure. And then the other part of it, like, Issa Rae, for instance. Issa Rae was fairly thin. But, like, then she got huge HBOs. After season one, she's become, like,
thin,
right? Yeah. And so, like, it's always fascinating to me because I'm, like, part of fatness, like, there is that reality we have to discuss, which is, like, if you're from the hood, you're not going to have access to healthy food. There's food deserts. There's this. There's that, right? And we're not talking about all the trauma that often becomes this, like, emotional eating. If we want to discuss, like, deeply what's happening in these areas, right? Because they're fueling us with this. They're surrounding us with nothing but shit. And then they're like, why aren't you skinny? Why aren't you healthy? Right? Mm-hmm. They're not talking about that, though. So then in turn, when these celebrities get big, like famous, they finally have access. They have money. They can get their trainers. They can get their that, their this. And I'm like, the way this country's set up is not for us to be healthy.
Right.
So, like, let's take that into consideration. And trauma is often what, like, I don't know about for y'all, but I'll be honest and say, like, I started getting big when my parents divorced. And that's one of the biggest times kids start getting obese, which is really fascinating because I didn't learn that statistic until I was, like, way older. But I was like, holy shit. Because a lot of the time that becomes a deeper relationship. And so, like, I really am fascinated by studying fatness and, like, what happens to us in that way. I never
thought about that.
Yeah.
There's probably a correlation there for me and my older brother. And my little brother doesn't remember it. He wasn't really conscious for that uncoupling. Mm-hmm. So he's skinny.
Yeah, no, I do a lot of work with like trauma-induced learning for kids. And so literally they were telling me stuff and I was like crying because I was analyzing myself and my life and like when I got fat. And so they say like a lot of your like emotions live in your gut. I believe is what the phrase is. I might be fucking it up, but
sounds right.
Yeah, like it's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Nah. Yeah, my parents split when I don't even remember. I was so young, and I've always been big.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad.
I just want to mention because I only said like negative representations in media. I want to say a couple positives.
Tell us good ones. Just do it.
I think the first one that's popping into my head is Missy Elliott.
Yes, like, literally, that's a big one.
Missy Elliott was
such back in the day, though.
That's the same time, but that's the same thing I was saying with all these black women that were like accepting of their bodies.
Exactly, Missy Elliott for sure, and like, I don't know, Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast.
yes, let's see. Oh, but well, they're all like
she was thick.
She was thick. Shout out to Angela Lansbury. Oh. Let's see who else. It's hard because. I mean, you know what's also really fun? And I just keep thinking of the fucked up, like all the fat a representation that are people in fat suits in movies.
Insatiable. Like,
Insatiable. I haven't seen
that's a recent one.
You know, Insatiable got so much shit just from the trailer, right? Like some people Twitter, saw the trailer.
I remember that.
Yeah. So it's this like old, like former Disney star who wears this fat suit. And I guess what happens is she gets in a food related incident, she gets injured and can't eat or whatever and loses a bunch of weight, but then she's still really angry and she's kind of evil throughout the series because she's angry because how people treated her when she was fat,
which is another like
which is problematic as fuck.
Yeah.
And then what sucks about Insatiable, because my bitch ass watched the whole thing because I am trash, the entirety of the storyline with the main character is horrible. It's problematic. Like, I can't even talk enough about so many other. There's actually a couple of other parts of it that are really problematic. But within it, there's like a fucking little Easter egg that they planted in there. They have a queer black woman who's happy and proud of her fatness. And she's like, she's actually one of the best representations of a fat queer woman of color that I've seen in my entire life. And it's within this show that is really problematic for fat people. So it's like, I can't even be like, hey, go watch Insatiable. I can't do that. I can't like recommend this show, even though within it is one of the best representations I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it's troubling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm thinking of fucked up shit like Fat Bastard on, on God. What is it called?
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, The Nutty Professor.
Mm. Even more recently.
And those were huge.
Big Mama's House.
Like, all in that same era. Movies. Like late 90s, early 2000s.
Even
like,
fat
recently.
Is always equated with funny.
That's yeah. true.
Oh, going back to Insecure.
Yeah.
Like Kelly on yes. Insecure, she's always the clown and
but
the butt of the jokes.
There's also that where, like, I don't know if you've seen it, sorry, where it's talking about, like, how fat people often become funny because they have to, like, find another way to, like, not be bullied, which is very true of my life.
Fat Amy and Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Shit. Fuck Rebel Wilson's bitch ass.
She's so annoying. So annoying.
It's always
I was rooting for you.
Yeah, we were all rooting
Speaking
for
of Fatsu, remember when Tyra wore a Fatsu?
Yes, that was weird too. Yeah, they've all done that.
On her episode of the Tyra show. What were you going to say though about Rebel?
Oh, no, I was just going to talk about the correlation with fat people having to be funny.
Yeah.
It's like back in the day and still kind of today, if you were the gay man, you had to be super funny and you were the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. And they treat fat people the same way, except they still get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like now and a lot more. Like I was watching One Day at a Time and I love this show. Mm-hmm. But I was watching like season two and they make a joke about Americans being fat and obesity being American culture. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like,
have you been to Mexico? Mm-hmm. There's hella fat people there.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. But
still my culture, but it's fine.
Sorry. I feel very attacked.
Yeah,
right now.
Like, I'm both of me. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's frustrating how, like, in the media today, like, they just get away with it. Like, anybody can get, nobody's going to get called out for fat shaming.
Right.
To the extent that you would for other things, like bad queer representation or whatever.
Right. I know this is, like, super hetero show, possibly. Yes, it is.
It's fine.
Desus and Miro. Like, I'm a big fan of them. And, like, of course, after they start making money, Miro started getting a lot thinner again. Mm. And it's funny because then I saw the correlation rise in his fat jokes. So he started making more fat jokes after he thinned out a little bit. And I was like, bruh, like, it's why did you have to do that? Like, you don't have to make more fat jokes, but it's like because we want to attack people, and that's kind of like how our comedy is a lot of days. Like, oh, fucking, so like they'll make, not saying that it's, but they'll make like Trump jokes about him being fat. And I'm like, he has everything wrong with him. Like, everything wrong with him, but like that's the easiest target, right? Is someone's fatness. And that's the same thing Trump does, right? Even with fucking beauty queens or whatever. Like, everybody just goes for that because that's the easy kill because everyone thinks it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And so it is, it's really fucking pathetic because it's just like, we do it as a means of survival. Like, we have to be funny or we'll be the mean fat girl or we'll be the weird fat girl or we'll be, you know, and it's like, it's exhausting. But like, I know for a fact, if I wasn't funny in high school, I would have been eaten alive because people thought I was cool because I was funny.
Yeah, that's true. I was hilarious.
I'm fucking hilarious.
I'm fucking hilarious, y'all.
I went through like a phase in high school where I just wouldn't eat. Mm. So like whenever people tell me that, like, oh, just don't eat, like I didn't
like,
eat for many like a, and still I was never thin, but I was like small enough, you know what I mean, that people didn't bully me for being fat a lot. Like, not very much. Like, I was more concerned with my queerness at the time because I was figuring it out.
Right.
But like, I wouldn't eat. My mom would be like, oh, like, I was dating a guy once and like,
ew,
literally. Oh yeah, God, it was gross. But my mom was like, my mom used to, like, she even told me, like, years later, she used to be like, oh, when you were with this guy, you were so thin. Like, you know, he was really good for you. I'm like, when I was with him, I wouldn't eat ever.
You're starving yourself.
I straight up would never eat. Mm. And then he was, like, really big into, like exercise and being in shape. So, like, I would go and exercise with him and not eat.
Those guys are into big girls a lot.
And she's
sometimes,
like, and she would just be like, oh, you were so healthy and you would look so good when you were with him. And I was just like, do you know how unhealthy I was? Like, I could have fucking died or some shit.
Right.
I don't know.
And you were okay with it.
And
I was thin.
Right. Well, looking back at it, I was miserable. So, you know, but that was mostly because I was with a man. So there's that.
Right.
So it's just like interesting. Like, even after I said those words to him, she's like, I'm just saying you looked good. I was like, dude, like, you don't even care that I was starving myself. Like, you don't care. Like, how fucking.
It fulfilled your image of me that you.
Yeah, like, finally, I looked like what you wanted me to look like. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was weird.
That's some dark shit.
Anyways, the other thing that I wanted to get into was like, you giggle too much.
Sorry.
Makes me nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I feel like you're making fun of me.
No.
No.
Literally.
See, that's another thing that we could talk about is like, anytime anybody laughs around me, I think it's because I'm fat.
Mm.
Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm like, oh, did I do something fat?
Right. Or like, if you're walking into the nail salon and they say something, I'm like, I'm fat. I know I'm fat.
Like,
it's fine.
So it's, you guys don't feel, I don't know if you guys have that thing, but like, mm-hmm. anytime anybody giggles around me, I'm like, what did I do? Like, I'm self-conscious.
Oh, absolutely. Even like being on the airplane, and I recently, and I kind of got this from Roxane Gay, mm-hmm. that she tweeted about it, was to ask for the extra belt.
Mm-hmm.
Never did that before. Always did like the wiggle struggle to try to be skinny within like 20 seconds of trying to clip it on so people wouldn't look at me so hard.
Right.
And like, then like, I just asked the other day and I was like, huh. That was easy. Cool. I'm going to do that. But it's like, I still feel like everybody's watching me and judging me, mm-hmm. and like, ugh, or they don't want to sit next to me because I'm fat.
Yeah.
You know, just like all these different things. I'm like, okay.
I do everything in my power to get like a seat that's like, not to get the middle seat. Like, I refuse to get a middle seat,
mm-hmm.
because of my size. And literally, I'm at the limit, like with all those seat belts, like literally barely fits in every single time.
I just ask for it barely.
Like, if I gain 5 more pounds, I'm getting the other.
I don't even try anymore. Like, I can still do it, but I'd rather not. Like, I'd rather not suffocate myself.
Shout out to Delta for like, I didn't struggle too much with that Delta one. That was yeah. fine.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, American Airlines is trash.
Yeah.
Fucking don't go on Spirit Airlines.
Oh.
Just don't do it.
Do they have seatbelts there?
I don't know. When I was jump starting the plane,
he took off with it.
Like, okay, everybody on the count of three.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, but it's like, it's true. Like, going back to us, like, navigating through spaces, like, different spaces, I do this thing that was taught to me, like, when I was younger by my mom, I think, is like, when I go walk into a room, I look around and I unconsciously, like just subconsciously, not unconsciously, I fall asleep.
Are you good, sis?
I scan the room and I'm like, am I the fattest person here? And usually I am.
You don't even notice it though sometimes, right? Like, you're just like, this is what I do.
It's just what you do.
Yeah.
And then when somebody bigger walks in, then it's like a sense of relief.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there's somebody bigger than me. I can relax now. You know? It's such a fucking weird thing, mm-hmm. and it's so wrong to do that. But that's like what that's what I've been trying to do.
Or it's like going into a room and am I the only POC in here? Okay.
Yeah.
I do that with fatness. But mostly I do that with queerness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, am I the only like gay person here? Like,
right.
I do that a lot with queerness.
Yeah. That's
very interesting how we kind of read our own identities and like relation to everybody else's.
Yeah, straight people scare me.
It's understandable.
Yeah. They're weird.
Yeah.
They talk about.
Are y'all okay?
I don't know. I'm whatever.
Oh, wait.
We have one
here in the room.
I don't think she is, though.
We'll change that if it
is. Okay,
that's fine.
Good.
Go for it.
Anyways.
Stop.
Okay, sorry.
But stemming off of Insatiable, the other thing that, especially with Eva, like I look for fat representation a lot. Like, it's kind of become a hobby of mine.
Uh-huh.
And anytime that I throw anything at Eva, like, oh, there's this new fat representation, she's always like, it's white. And I'm like, I get
it.
Like,
super
why would you
with white shit?
Yeah, so it's always white, and it's completely true. And I'm able to like digest that media because like a lot of the time they've been trying to like intersect fatness with queerness a lot, and like Dietland, mm-hmm. Insatiable, like a couple of other, like Dumpling, I would argue, because they have like the drag queens in it,
mm-hmm.
they're still white. The fat one is white,
mm-hmm. and white as fuck at
Ginger
that.
Man, she's actually Latina, but
white,
she's Puerto Rican white.
Shut the fuck, mm-hmm. up.
Puerto Rican white.
I thought she went for like this country like white thing.
Well, she's country, and she's white, and she's Puerto Rican. Look at people being like,
I know, I know, but like, I just took her as like a country white girl.
Mm-mm, she's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's just, it's always white, and we are definitely in that stage where it's like, representation, but it's white. And
white, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it's just like...
Yeah, I mean, look at the fat women that are representing us. Melissa McCarthy, Rebel Wilson.
And she lost a lot of weight too, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, she, mm-hmm. did.
I mean, and she's still considered...
What?
Have you ever watched Got to Be Real on...
Yes, Got to Be Real.
When Aretha lost weight, the Dionne Warwick was like, on the show. It's not happening in real life. She's like, she could lose all the weight she wants, but she's still going to have the spirit of a big bitch. And I said, amen. That's a amen. That's Melissa that's McCarthy, though. That's Melissa. I feel like that's Melissa McCarthy, too.
Because she's still not, like, she's thin.
She's not thin, but she's right. not as big as she was.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
You were going to say something?
Yeah, but it's because
she's doing all those flips in those spy movies she's in. She's got a...
spy movies. She has some good-ass spy movies, though. Have you seen those?
She just lost weight on... Huh?
Have y'all seen those?
I've seen the one with Sandra Bullock back in the day.
Oh, no. There's a recent one. I think it's literally called Spy, and it's actually pretty good.
With the Muppets?
Not tired? Has she not found everybody yet? Goddamn.
She not found everybody yet?
Like, get a new plot line, sis.
Yeah. Well, I really want to see Can You Ever Forgive Me? She plays
that's the Oscar
she plays a queer... woman that's bigger.
Really? Oh, I can't wait.
Let's watch
it. It's already out. It's already like out of theaters. It's already done.
I saw it at one of the local ones. I didn't know about it. We can go watch it.
It's like currently?
Yeah, like this week.
That's fucking wild because it wasn't. Oh, you know what? It was playing at some of the indie theaters in LA. Never mind. anyways, yeah. Whiteness in media.
Yeah, I mean, because they still get all that stuff first, right? Like, they're like, ooh, yeah. We should make this plot line. But
queer
it's like,
as folk and Will and Grace. Yeah.
Right. But for me, it's like, I can only identify to a certain degree because I know if I navigated that space the same way you are, sis, it wouldn't happen like that.
Right.
Or I would still be at the pre, because I'd have to work my way up there to get where you were. And so it would be a completely different experience. So I can... watch it for some, like, I did appreciate some of Dietlands for sure. I didn't watch that much because I don't get to sit and watch as much TV as I'd like to.
Yeah.
But that initial thing for me is like, that's not how it would go for me. I'm not going to pretend that that's how it would go for me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I got so tired because I used to consume so much white media that when I finally realized the realities post-college, I was like, no, I actively choose to watch mostly POC led at least media. And so I appreciate it, but it's still definitely lacking for me.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think I'm just able to consume it easier,
right?
Some of them do look like me, like, to be honest, you know what I mean? So Dumplin, the main character, she like doesn't ever just like, she does have like the confidence issues to like the extent where there's this guy that likes her and she's like, that's not right, like, you shouldn't like me. Mm-hmm. It's that simple to her. She's like, no, this isn't right, like, you shouldn't be with a girl that looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, but never does she like,
can
really...
we spoil it?
I mean, yeah, I mean,
there's,
I
really nothing to spoil.
It's a very like, it's a very generic story. Yeah. It's a story that you've seen 100 times with straight skinny people.
Yeah,
but this time it's a fat girl. And she's, you know, she has the same issues that we've kind of described with our moms, where the mom always wants her to be skinny and wants her to be a certain way. But I think the mom has given up at this point. And then Dumplin surprises her, you know.
Right. I think the clip I was talking about spoiling is one that my friend posted, because I saw only the first 5 minutes. And then my friend was sharing it, another big brown girl, and she was like, this is not how it ever fucking happens. But it's that cliche ass shit where it's like, the man falls for her and he's like, oh, it's, I don't see your fatness, you're beautiful and I love you how you are, Dumplin. And he's like, and she's like, no, it's not supposed to be that way. And so it's just so funny because it's like, this is not how this shit goes, like, at all. So
it was,
it's
definitely
like,
a fantasy, right?
Absolutely.
Like, but that's what movies are for even straight people, if you think about it. So I don't know. For me, it was just like, I was okay with it just because, like, you don't get happy endings a lot of the time when you're fat. Or the happy ending is that you're not fat anymore. So it wasn't that. And I was like, maybe I'm being bare minimum Twitter right now about it. Because I'm just kind of like, oh, she was happy and things were good. And she didn't have to lose weight about it.
I don't know. I watched the movie and I felt gross after watching it. I was like, that was just a lot of like, just like playing with our heartstrings and like, nothing really happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then like, to have, there was a secondary fat character that was like also in, so Dumplin's mom is like a reigning pageant queen, or she
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston's character, which... Jennifer Aniston killed it in the movie. She was amazing.
Yeah.
She was
great at that shit.
She's great at playing herself in every movie. but her southern accent was on point. And Dumplin's her daughter that nobody paid attention to because, you know, either fat people are highly visible or invisible. And in her case, she was invisible in this movie. Mm-hmm. And she makes herself seen, which I think is really cool. Like, but again, just as a fat person to enter a pageant, so brave, so fat, so hashtag so fat, so brave.
Right.
You know, just for doing like a regular ass thing. And then she goes and does this pageant, and then this character that's reads to me as a queer woman or a queer girl.
I agree.
In the movie, but they never address it.
No, they completely ignore it.
Also, like the freaks, like in Mean Girls, you know, mm-hmm. like the Janice Ian of this movie joins the pageant, and
is it her best friend, or is it somebody else? I only.
Saw oh no, friends. I guess you're calling the secondary fat character Janice Ian.
Oh,
no,
kidding.
The secondary character would be fat character would be
the Janice
girl.
Oh, the Janice Ian one is that one that was probably a lesbian.
Yes, exactly. She's a skinny goth girl. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with this, but yeah, they do the pageant and it's like just like feel good Lifetime.
It's very feel good, like
yeah.
fantasy type of shit. That's
and
for sure.
And now just like every it's a fucking trend, like every other fucking movie, they sprinkle in a drag show and to say like, hey, we're cool with queerness.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Casa de las Flores.
Yeah, shout out to Casa de las Flores. Shout out to A Star is Born. Shout out to
the cartoon.
The drag, I mean, everything. Everything now has mm-hmm. a drag queen in it because it's like, it's popular right
like,
now.
Oh, this culture is so good to me. Like, I'm like, dude, it's not for you, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I also found it very interesting that Jennifer Aniston, her character was never in those scenes, like with the weird people. Even though they were in the same room,
mm-hmm.
You could tell the shooting schedule was like Jennifer Aniston didn't want to talk to anybody. Like Jeez. She just shot by herself. I was like, that's my diva. That's right.
Ay Dios.
God. Anyway, but yeah, it's this whole thing about like self-discovery, like until you don't. You realize your inner beauty, you're never going to be loved or whatever, you know? And it's like, girl, this like 1950s fantasy that was being played in that movie, like, that shit ain't real.
I've been knew my inner beauty.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what was interesting to me is that she had a bigger fat role model.
Like, her aunt?
Her aunt. She was like this big role model who was always yeah. just like, she had that other person who, like, even though her mom was perpetuating a lot of toxic shit to her,
mm-hmm.
she had this other woman who was just like, fuck that. Like, mm-hmm. you're good. You're beautiful and stuff. And you're, and I thought that, I don't know, I liked seeing that.
But then she died of the diabetes.
But then she died as fuck, yeah.
Did she really?
What did she die
from
of?
Diabetes?
Something like that.
They didn't, I don't know if they said, they might have said, but I don't, some, like, don't
organ,
remember.
I don't know. Something the her body plant. Just quit.
Mm-hmm. So I think they like, I they tried to insinuate that it was because she was unhealthy.
Oh
God.
Sorry, I almost knocked over something on Eva's nightstand. By the way, we're laying in her bed recording this.
Mm-hmm. Giggling away. I'm on a ball.
Aww.
Should we talk about how like a lot of the times, just like queer people, just like brown people in the past, like fat people are portrayed as villains? You know, like Ursula.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
I mean, Ursula is the OG fat villain.
Right.
For sure.
Uh-huh. Fucking all of the Harry Potter movies. Most of the fat people were, like, evil.
That's true. They can't be trusted.
The lady that killed Selena. I mean.
Because the lady's on a creep.
Shout out to Yolanda.
Fuck you, Yolanda.
Oh, never mind.
I ain't over it. She's still in jail, alive.
God. Yeah, I mean, fat people are also seen as, like, these bitter, angry people who, like, you know, will never have as good of a life as you will, you know?
It's true. Just kidding. I don't know. They're always just seen as the little weirdos, though. Like, I think of the Sandlot, what's his name, or the Truffle Shuffle from, the Goonies. Like, they were always the, like, weird butt of the joke. Like,
yeah.
Those little fat boys.
Yeah. Did you guys ever see the movie Heavyweights?
Yes. No. Yes, where they went to the fat camp.
And Ben Stiller was like the
yes,
evil
the mean camp
leader.
Yes. That movie, and we thought it was hysterical growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Pat loved it.
I watched Dude. It a lot. Yeah.
Kenan I watched
Thompson
a lot of...
was on that.
Oh.
He's an interesting figure. He finally like lost a lot of weight too.
Yeah, I saw him on SNL looking svelte.
The dad on Blackish too.
Yeah, Anthony Anderson.
He also lost a lot of weight, and he's still like, you know, he looks like a thick boy, but he's pretty thin now.
Thick boy.
Yeah. God, we're losing all our fat icons.
I know. What's going on?
I feel like even if I got like ballin, I would still be like a pleasant thickness. Like I would not want to be thin. I don't even aspire to be thin.
But when that's another thing that I wanted to bring up earlier, but I was like, let me not do it. But
go for it.
When you think of like, if you had money, if you had fame, you still think that you would want to lose weight. Maybe not like lose all the weight, but like at all.
I think growing up, yes, I would have wanted to be thin. I think within this past year specifically, I've really learned to love my fatness more. And like people like Lizzo, I really, really adore. And they really, like, I'm so grateful because I've actually started to like be very into fat baddies.
Fat baddies and bodies.
It works. But I really have where I see fat bodies and I'm like, wow, that's so beautiful. And I used to not be like that, right? Because like that's not what I was fed. But now lately, like seeing her and her body, I'm like, oh, you're fucking stunning. Like I'm so into her fat body. And so like I always tweet, like I'm so grateful for people like her because it has allowed me to really see fat bodies as beautiful and accept them as beautiful as opposed to beautiful for a fat person, which people always want to separate. And I get that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But you're beautiful. I'm fat. Oh, but you're beautiful. I know I'm fucking beautiful. That's fine. I can be both. So I think prior to really accepting my fatness, yes, I would have wanted to be thin. Now, would I want to like be healthier? You know, all that stupid bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I have more access to healthier food and all that, sure. But I still don't want to torture myself to be skinny. I am okay being the fat
who you are,
brown woman I am.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had more money, I could. The first thing I would do is hire a chef, and I would probably eat healthier food. Or
right,
I would just eat hella fancy food and be as fat as fuck. Like, I don't know what I would do, you
probably
know?
Probably a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had money, I could probably hire a trainer and, like, hire assistants so that I had more time to, like, work out and stuff. So, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. Yeah, and do I want to lose weight? Sometimes, yes.
Right.
And it's just because of, health reasons is a thing. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, when I'm doing my work, my body gets tired really fast. And you know, you're talking about planes and stuff. Like, yeah, maybe losing some weight would make it easier for me to travel. So I'm, like, conscious of that, you know. But, I mean, I'm okay with – I'm finally in a place where I'm like, oh, I'm okay that I'm going to be big for the rest of my life.
Right.
And if I'm not, and if something happens – tragically, like in Insatiable, where my jaw breaks,
yeah,
and I lose a bunch of weight, like, okay, great, whatever. But it's like, then there's gonna be so many other complexes that come with that, you know?
Yeah, so. they made it seem like so simple. Oh, she just lost weight, and that was it. As if you don't get left with, like, you know, extra skin and all these other mm-hmm. and all these other like problems and stuff like that. Like, they didn't even touch on that. Shane Dawson, as problematic as that motherfucker was, he's talked a lot about how he lost a bunch of weight and had to get a bunch of surgeries, and still, like, he's very, like, conscious of his body because he has scars.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, there's just a bunch of shit that comes with it. Like, oh, you lost a bunch of weight. Like, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of your weight issues.
And I think that's where we really have to find the value in ourselves and loving ourselves and accepting ourselves, so that if that does happen, that's not your whole self-worth.
Right.
That's not all you are, right?
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
That's what gets really, really sad to me, and it breaks my heart because it's a mental thing. Body dysmorphia.
That's good too.
Are we into that?
Body diaspora.
It's beyond just the physical. It's mental. Where else is your mind processing this? Mm-hmm. What's telling yourself to love yourself or to not love yourself? Or to accept that extra role or to not accept it? That's mental. And that's why I'm obviously such a big advocate on mental health too. Mm-hmm. But they all work hand in hand to me. And so then that spiritual becomes the physical, becomes the mental, becomes the emotional. And that's why it's so vital to really come to yourself and value yourself.
Amen.
You know what worries me? Like, just kind of semi-tying into the mental health thing. like, there's not very much representation, especially for people of color and queer people of color, when it comes to, like, being fat on screen, mm-hmm. that they kind of start to cling on to, like, real life people who are very inspiring and very amazing.
Yes.
But they're human beings, and, like, idolizing people in the media is tough because they fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, somebody in a movie, they're, like, immortalized in that movie, and if that's good representation, that stays there. But Lizzo, for example, she could fuck up. She could do something problematic. She could become human. Right. And that's what sucks, is that, like, yes, it's great that we have access to, like, more people who are positive, but, like, they don't always stay positive. And I'm like, that can be harmful to, like, fat people. And that kind of worries me. That's why I'm like, I like to push for what I see as more permanent representation, which is on TV and film, or of course, just, you know, seeing your, actually fixing your issues with your own weight, which I am horrible at. Like, I will admit it right here and there. Nowhere near where you guys are as far as, like, accepting myself.
And it's not a contest. It's a own personal journey.
Right. No, it's not like, oh, you guys are beating me. Right. No, but it's just like, I haven't put in the work.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to.
And it's really hard for.
I'm winning.
I won the race. Oh my God, I won.
Oh my God, I'm so fat.
I'm so fat and I won.
I win. Let's go to Whataburger again. Those chicken biscuits, though.
Oh, honey butter chicken biscuits. I want, like, three more. Whataburger is the only reason I would come back to Texas.
Damn, okay, let me leave.
No, that's a really great point. I never thought about it that way, Mike. That, like, yeah, having a character that lives on forever as that character, as a positive. Yeah. Fat character in a movie.
And I think that's where this is the same thing, like, a lot of these topics are within all of our podcasts, is really acknowledging that how human and flawed we are, and accepting that, and then accepting that we're allowed to be critiqued and get better as well. And, like, even if Lizzo was to do something terrible or whatever, or get called out on this or that, or, like, this character that so-and-so played or whatever, it's like, that's the humanity in us all, right? And, like, I'm really big on reactions and how people handle that. And again, valuing yourself and choosing to be mindful of what you're feeding yourself, not food-wise, but mind-wise.
Yeah.
Truly.
So that's what's, that's why it's just, representation is so tough. Like, so many people are going to watch this shit. Like, Insatiable got renewed because it got so many views. And Dietland didn't. You know what I mean? And Dietland was the one where she didn't have to lose weight. She had to learn to love herself, you know?
Yeah, nobody likes to see that.
Yeah, nobody likes to see a fat woman, like...
loving herself.
Being, like, cool with this shit, finally. You know what I
mean? Don't listen to the Colores Radio. No, I'm just kidding.
It's fucking... You know, and then please, like, listen. Please listen to Decolores Radio and Latinos Who Lunch.
Write a review, thank
five
you.
Five stars for all three of us, please.
You know what? You know where I have been finding the most positive representation is on Instagram. Same. And
with real people
and drag queens, like, mm-hmm.
Latrice.
Oh my God, Latrice motherfucking Royale! I love her so much. But also, a lot of queens that haven't hit the mainstream because I haven't been on RuPaul's Drag Race. I want to give a big shout out to Meatball. Yay! For example. Those bitches are fat and they're hairy and
hilarious
and pinche queen. I love pinche. Pinche is one of my favorites. And they go out on stage and, you know, they take their clothes off and they're just confident and sexy as fuck, and they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and their face is beat. And to the gods, darling. And, you know, they do it every day. And in a way, it's like it has desensitized me, because I think the initial reaction to drag queens like that is like of shock. Because mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God, a fat person is bearing their skin on stage.
So brave.
so fat, so brave.
Yeah.
And then being vulnerable, but then being like, and then it's gross because... you know, they're a man and they have hair and then, like, body hair. And then, like, once you get over that initial shock, even I was shocked to see that because I'd never seen it before. Now I'm like, oh, damn, that bitch got moves.
You love it that much more.
Yeah. Like, oh, damn, that outfit is awesome. Oh, that hair is laid, right? It's like they're also – I appreciate the layers of that, and I wouldn't have been able to see that if I hadn't seen them perform so many times, because they make you look past the fat mm-hmm. and like at them, at their beauty and their personality, like physically, right, and like mental beauty, right? Mm-hmm.
Have you?
That's so true.
Like, I grew up like watching big drag queens like in real life, mm-hmm. and then I was watching like I haven't really watched a lot of Drag Race, but I did notice like
you're homophobic.
the earlier seasons had like I know I'm sorry, I have seen some, but like the amount of fat queens that are on Drag Race has gone down like significantly.
Yeah, a lot of fat queens and a lot of old queens. They yeah. don't have that many old queens on there anymore, and
even they're like falling susceptible to this like societal shit. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. and it's like the most like, you know, anti-heteronormative shit. You know what I mean? Like anti-gender, whatever the fuck. Like, it's not. It shouldn't be that, but even they are like, oh, this queen is so skinny. She's so passing for a woman and all this other shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fucked up. And I mean, it has to do with now it's on VH1. It's on like a bigger network than more it was before. Consumed. And so they have to, I feel like they have to like appease that audience, you know? And then it's also RuPaul's backwards ass. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always been obsessed with his weight and being skinny and yes, thin. Yes,
and being in this white world. And being and, in like, a white world. Appeasing that.
Exactly. I mean, look at all the past All-Stars. Thin, white women. Blonde. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's so sad, but I know Latrice Royale is not going to win this season of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Like, of All-Stars. I mean, she's not... Hopefully it's not a white queen.
Yeah, because they've been wanting a fat queen to win forever.
Forever. I was even rooting for Ginger Minj. Mm-hmm.
Has a fat queen ever won Drag Race?
No, never.
Because every time a new season yeah. comes and there's a fat queen, they're always like, "I'm gonna be the one." It's like,
but it is, you know, it is also reality television. Like, you know, you can't script that shit much. they can definitely try. So I don't know. Like, this is why I want to push for better representation. Like, one of my favorite books in the world is Fat Angie, and it actually does kind of have a storyline where like she loses weight, but for 90% of the story she's fat. Mm-hmm. And like I just thought it was the best representation, or right. not but it's like the best story to me, you know. And that's like this immortalized book that like this person can't, like they can't take that away from me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and they do well with books and stuff, because a lot of times people are able to tell their own stories, but it's like society, American society and worldwide, are not ready to value fat people beyond what they see for extra fatness and just whatever they want to value from us. They don't want to see beyond, as you were saying, with the more local drag queens that are, you know, that we are more than our fatness. They're not ready to value that yet, because it's easier to just demean us for it and not value us beyond that, until they see, oh, you're beautiful, or oh, you're funny, or oh, you have a podcast, so you're more valuable to us. Like,
yeah,
nah, that's bullshit. It shouldn't be like that, and I shouldn't just be respected for those things, because my fatness scares you.
Yeah, like literally in other people's minds, it's like, this person is skinny and beautiful, and that's all they need to do. But when you're fat, you have to also be a bunch of other impressive shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
When I go out without makeup, I always say this. When I go on out anywhere without makeup, I get treated completely differently than when I do with makeup. Mm-hmm. And that's just maybe a beauty standard thing, but I'm like, I know it also depends on what I'm dressing, where I'm going, like, all that. But, like, it's a fucked up world.
For sure. I wonder if we can end it with any more positive representations out there or recommendations.
Look up,
for
like, a stuff. List. I'm so curious.
There's got to be, like... you know, some recommendations that we can give of like positive shit to look at. For me, it's Dietland, which is now on Hulu. I think that's great shit. She's a white lead, but they have a lot of people of color in it, and other types of beauty standards that they try to like squash and shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just such a negative person. I think that the only things that I can think about is negative. And even like thinking about like Titus on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Titus.
I love Titus.
I did too, but I also can't stand that show, because it's almost like that show's like a cartoon, and I'm not really into cartoons. Mm. Like the way that it's
overly silly. Like there is nowhere near realistic. Yeah.
And again, like it's like you were saying, like the queer fat person of color, like always the butt of the jokes, playing the dummy. That's kind of Titus. I mean, he is amazing, mm-hmm. but I'm excited for him to have his own show. And if that doesn't happen soon, then It's like Tina Fey's racist. Like, she just needs to have a show where Titus is carrying that show.
Yeah. Nobody watches it for Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah.
That's it.
What was I going to say? This article I just pulled up said we deserve better than This Is Us, which I think is really fascinating because This Is Us is such a big deal.
Oh, that fat lady on there.
I couldn't get through it. It's too much for me. The fat lady. One big fat lady. Mm-hmm.
Her whole storyline is about being like wanting to lose weight. But the guy, like the love interest for her, I've heard of a lot of people talking about him as positive representation because he like tries to, like whenever she tries to do really like, oh, like internalize like fat phobia stuff, he tries to like negate them. He's like, no, like you can have a dessert every now and then. Like, it's, you're not like the worst person for it. Like, he can kind of be a little bit of a good representation in general, even though it is a little like a man saved me. But other than that,
let me think.
Yeah. It was definitely cool to see her because she was a big woman and that's a super big show. This article also mentioned Queen Latifah, which is very real. Another black woman I'm talking about that
not openly queer, but pretty much queer.
Oh, absolutely. Finally queer, like came out and got married, I think a couple years ago.
She didn't come out, but she's been married for a while.
That's like her silent way, right? Mm-hmm. Then even this made me think of, this is not positive, but do y'all remember Spanglish, the movie?
I haven't seen
it. I was so shook by the daughter because she was chubby. Have you seen that movie?
No.
And her mom constantly got onto her. So if you want to be like low-key triggered by that, that's very accurate with like how the mom's... I kind
of cover that movie.
The mom is like telling her to stop eating and the like nanny or whatever she was is like, it's okay, mija, here, have your sandwich type of shit.
Is Spanglish the one with Adam Sandler?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. I don't know how it would be now.
I would argue that good representation was on all Real Women Have Curves.
I watched it a little bit. Yes. For it's our culture, positive. Yes. That's more fitting.
Yo, what if you're a woman and you don't have curves?
Yeah, like the name is problematic.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, I just think that in like she has that experience with her mom too, and she has a whole conversation, and then like they get undressed, and like I already did an episode on this, so I'm not going to try to repeat it, but I think it's really good representation.
Yeah.
Especially for its time.
Totally. I'm thinking of, you know who I really love is Kathy Najimy, and like she's the one that's in Sister Act.
Okay.
The fat lady in the Sister Act and the fat lady in Hocus Pocus.
She's not a black woman?
No.
Okay, I was like, another fat black woman.
No, she's a white lady. And she's still kind of big. And also, Hairspray.
Tracy Turnblad.
Yeah, Tracy Turnblad, I think, has always been like kind of a positive.
That's true.
What do you guys, I know a lot of people have.
And Ricky Lake played her the first
time. Go, Ricky. Are you too young to actually have watched the
Ricky Lake show?
Yes, bitch.
I'm young, but
that was the first time I saw the term. She thinks she's all that in a bag of chips.
Oh.
That was like the descriptor for one of the... Thing. Yeah.
For sure. No, I don't know that. I was also going to mention Cristela.
Oh my God, Cristela Alonso. She also lost weight, though.
She lost weight, too, but I think she said it was because of her teeth health. Fixed. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she, you know... Saw a little bit of something there. She was a big woman, and she was the star of the show, and she was brown.
That was awesome.
I didn't like that show.
I know you didn't like that show. That's why I was like, some people have mixed feelings about it.
That's another podcast episode.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm looking stuff up, and I think it's fascinating because fat guys always got more of a pass than women.
Oh, yeah.
Or were able to
find
love.
In real life and in media.
Yeah, so that's very true to state as well.
And that's usually straight men, though.
Absolutely. I definitely meant in the straight world, but, you know.
On this podcast, the norm is queer world, so.
I'm sorry. I'm trash. I'm leaving. Bye.
Well, definitely. I just listened to a podcast with the guy that played Damien in Mean Girls.
Hmm.
And I love him. I met him in person one time, and I was so starstruck.
I bet.
And
of all the people you've met,
I was so starstruck. And he just like gave me a big hug because I couldn't say anything. It was so sweet.
Like, I love your work.
I love your work. I love your penis.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, I love your work.
Yeah. That's
yeah. But he was on Looking, and I heard that they're doing a reboot of Queer as Folk, and he's playing one of the characters.
Interesting.
Instead of like a thin white gay.
All of Looking was pretty white and pretty skinny.
Yeah, so he's gonna be playing one of the main characters in Queer as Folk as like a big bear guy.
They are starting off on the right foot for me.
Who's producing it?
Or
like what network?
I'll do some research and follow up on this.
Sorry, I'm curious.
You know I don't watch that shit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I never watched Looking.
Looking at all this shit and like the obesity films are terrible.
Yes, that's true.
Wow, they brought up Norbit.
We never talked about Shallow Hal.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape? The mom.
Oh gosh, she was another evil one.
Yes,
they're all like.
Okay, but we're thinking about positive, right?
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Danny Francesi. That's his name.
Who's that?
That's the guy that plays Damien in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I think he's been a really positive for role model for queer men and for fat people.
Even though it took him a long time to come out.
It did. He talked about that on this podcast. It was on Unbearable with Big Dipper and Meatball. Big Dipper and Meatball. Meatball's a drag queen. Mm-hmm. And Big Dipper is this like white Jewish rapper guy who's always embraced his body. Mm-hmm. He's very problematic because he's a white rapper. And B, I don't think he talks about his privilege about being a white rapper or like a white fat guy as much as he should. And he doesn't have that many POCs in his music videos, but it's really cool to see him like embrace his body the mm-hmm. way that he does.
Yeah.
I'm getting sad looking at these lists because I can't find
anything
positive.
Stop looking at that list. How about...
I just thought of Precious, too. God damn it. Sorry. I'm like, if we're talking about fat media, we have to be realistic with what is out there for us. Like,
it's trash. It's all trash.
It's all trash. Absolutely. So, like, we have to be the change we want to see in the world.
I mean, America Ferrera in those... jeans,
lost a lot of weight.
Them jeans books.
Yes.
And then, movies.
Pants.
The Traveling Pants. And then also an Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Yes.
America Ferrera used to be super, I think, like, an interesting role model, at the very least. Yeah, she lost a lot of weight now, though. But back in the day, I used to look at her and be like, look at this baddie.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah, obviously there's not a lot of positive representation of fat people, and that's why we decided to... That's why you wanted to do this episode, mm-hmm. Maite. So I think it's a good conversation to start having. And also, like, showrunners, creators of TV shows, like, they should really keep that into account. Like, who the fuck is watching your TV shows? Most of us in the United States are overweight.
Yes.
Absolutely. I wish that I could go and, like, fucking talk mad shit to creators of television series. But at the end of the day, even, like, a person that is fucking prolific, such as, like, Shonda Rhimes, is going to have trouble mm-hmm. having a fat lead.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even Shonda Rhimes, I don't think could... She hasn't so far. She herself is, like, great representation for somebody like me that looks mm-hmm. up to people like her. And even she couldn't pull off a fat lead.
Yeah. I mean, and it takes these big, big people to really start pushing that envelope and saying, fuck it, I'm going to go with it.
It also takes the audience. Like, this is really missing the audience factor. The fact is that people don't want to see us on screen. Mm-hmm. And, like, we need to change that, basically. Yeah.
I think it's changing that whole notion, the acceptance, and making people accountable of it. Mm-hmm. Because without that, then it's going to be the same old bullshit over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so it's like slowly but surely you're seeing a few more fat people in magazines and things. But for the most part, it's like, no, our culture is still completely fat phobic. And we need to address that because it shouldn't be able to get away with that. It shouldn't be me looking at a list for 10 minutes and I can't find one positive film to really consider. And I think that that's telling of where we are as a society. We need to address that. We need to have more of these conversations. And this episode is very telling of that.
Yeah, like, I didn't even try looking on the internet for random shit. Like, I went purely off of what I watch because I consume a lot of media. Like, mm-hmm. I can really only trust myself when it comes to, like, fatness in media these days. And that's sad. Like, I'm not a fucking expert, you know what I mean? I have mm-hmm. this podcast, and that's, like, that's my qualification.
Right.
And I can do better than these fucking internet lists of evil fucking fat characters. Thanks for talking about this shit with me. I know it's not, like, fun all the time.
It's difficult to talk about because we don't get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because people always just kind of roll their eyes at these conversations because it's the same thing. Like, okay, y'all fat people just need to stop eating and just, like, mm-hmm. you
just
know.
Just go work out.
Just go work out and shut up.
And if you don't grow up
hard.
With it, even if you're, like, fat eater and you don't grow up with it, you can't relate to some of this shit.
You don't. You don't at all. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, okay, you're fat now, but mm-hmm. people that have grown up fat, we go through a lot. Mm-hmm. It's
there's a trauma there.
There's probably several traumas.
There's so much trauma. It's just,
Not to say like, we've suffered more, so we deserve more. No. It's just like, we are just aware of the world. It is what it is.
In a different way.
Yeah, we're aware of the world in a different way.
We haven't experienced, like, not being seen this way.
Right.
And that's like, the big difference. So it's just, I don't know. The reason I wanted us to be on this episode is because this right here is as safe as a space can get to talk about fat conversations for me.
Yeah.
Because I trust you guys and how you guys see yourselves and how you guys see fatness. I agree with a lot of it, and some of it I just aspire to see it that way. So thank you.
Aww.
Thank you, Maite.
Thank you for having us on. This is a really important discussion, and like, it makes us all reflect in different ways on either how we grew up, how we are now, or where we want to go. So thank you for opening the space to do this. I know you wanted to do it for a long time.
A long time.
And it's telling of all of our own journeys, right? Of like accepting fatness and like progressing and getting quote unquote healthy or whatever that means to you individually.
Yeah. I'll put the links up, of course, on cabronasychingonas.com as soon as I can, because we talked about a lot of different stuff that you might have missed. But for now, why don't you guys tell everybody where we can find you? I'm sure that they already follow you guys. Let's be real.
You can follow me personally at Eva Arreguin, EvaArreguin on all social media, and my podcast at The Colores Co, at DECOLORESCO, The Colores Radio is my podcast.
Oak Cliff.
Shout out, Oak Cliff.
Gang, gang.
Oh my God.
Other things that I shouldn't be saying.
Levy.
I'm Favy Fav on all social media platforms, Favy, Fav. You can follow my podcasts. Latino at Latinos Who Lunch or at Art People Pod. I started a new podcast called the Art People Podcast, where I'm interviewing artists and people related to the art world. And, also latinoswholunch.com for all the latest episodes of that really fun, life-changing podcast.
Yes.
For all of us, I think it's been quite an inspiration, you know.
Y'all made me, I was on The Colores Radio and they made me cry.
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying to.
Because they like put it all into like perspective of like how you all started, like CYC started because of Latinos Who Lunch, and how, you know, we've all become a big family. And I never like to take credit for it, but you know what? I'm a badass bitch. I'm a community ass bitch, and I'm so happy that I have you all as my family. So love y'all.
I'm so happy that like you, like, you know how a lot of times you meet your heroes and you're like, oh, they're like whatever, they're not who they were. Literally, I fucking met Fabi and I was like, he's fucking amazing. What the balls? Nobody should be this great. Like, I don't know. So thank you for being like literally a real ass person on your podcast and off.
Oh my God. Let's go to Target. I'm going to buy something nice.
Tarjay, here we go.
Yay.
Oh my God.
I think that's it. I think we can end it. Follow my podcast if you guys are coming from the other ones. Say CYC podcast on everything except for Facebook. It's like CYC pod. And leave all of our podcasts 5 stars because we struggle a lot.
We deserve that.
Yeah. And you're listening to this shit for free. And if you made it this far, at least leave a 5-star review post.
Yes. Like, please. At fucking least. And The Colores Co, if you guys don't know, like, they do a lot of events in Dallas. So if you're in Dallas, definitely fucking follow them, even if you don't do other podcasts other than mine for some reason. But yeah, so. Yeah, that's it. I don't know how to fucking end it.
Yay! Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Maite.
Thank you, Maite. Thank you, cabronas y chingonas.
Squad.
Bye.
Okay, bye.